if they've been training, they say, try not to ever turn off the tape and have people tell you things, because those are the things we like to have on the tape. Just so it's
clean.
Kind. Clean, we haven't had any trouble with. Oh, that was wonderful.
You're starting now? While I was mentioning Dr. Barrett, who, as you know, was Dr. Levy's son-in-law, we have a family joke that I used to cry whenever Dr. Barry came in the house, and everyone thought it was because I was anticipating a shot of some kind. But it developed that what I was really afraid of was the fact that he wore brown shoes, and apparently I had never seen brown shoes before, and this must have been when I was probably 5. Incidentally, one of my very early memories. So I had some peculiar antipathy to brown shoes, and that leads to another thought, which I think you'll find pretty funny. We lived at the corner of, as I told you, near the corner of Center and Craig. And as you know, Center Avenue at that point takes off on quite a long hill up towards Shenley High School and up towards Heron Hill. And one day when I was obviously less than 8 years old, because we moved away from there at that time, a streetcar, its brakes failed and came down the hill and ran off the track and ran into a drugstore, which was on that corner. And it was a pretty upsetting experience. And my father told me, I remember this very clearly, he said I was not to worry because plans were in the mill for a subway system for Pittsburgh. And all the streetcars were going to be replaced. Now, this was in 1910. They're still working on it.
Yes, it's too bad that your father's prediction wasn't more accurate. Now we are... You graduated from Cornell.
Yes.
What year was that?
1926. I had a degree in mechanical engineering, a degree that they don't give anymore. Nowadays they would call it BS in mechanical engineering, but in those days you were able to get a mechanical engineering degree, which is a little bit more than that, in a 4-year course, which is no longer possible.
Did you, were you an engineer?
I went to work immediately for Blahnox. In fact, I worked there during summers. And I really spent my entire business career there.
You were an engineer.
I was an engineer to start with. Obviously, after that, I got into management. But I was, yes, indeed, I was an engineer.
That's very interesting. You for many years, you were at Blahnox.
I was there for 40 years. I had always made up my mind that I was going to retire when I was young enough to enjoy it, and I stuck to that. I retired when I was 60. Although I had always had an interest in a small, specialized construction company. And after I left Blahnox, I managed that for probably 3 years after that, and then we sold that to another corporation.
Now, will you tell us a little about Ruth and you?
Well, I always knew Ruth was around, you might say, since we went with the same, more or less the same group, but that was about it. Until, as I said, Charles Dreyfuss said he thought she'd be someone nice for me to take out. And from then on, it progressed.
When were you married?
We were married in 1934, in almost the depths of the Depression. I was making, I remember very clearly, I was making $225 a month. I might say that, and I think this is important, really, my family was reasonably prominent, let's say, and certainly involved in communal affairs to the nth degree, but they didn't have any money to speak of. In fact, I guess they lived beyond their means. It was probably my mother's fault. She wanted us to have this is an old story, she wanted us to have all the advantages. And we had all the advantages, but my poor father had his nose to the grindstone all the time. He had no estate at all. Zero when he died, although he was a very successful doctor by the standards of the day. So I think that puts it in perspective a little bit. Anyway, so, but we always lived well and ate well, and our house was, I'm digressing, but our house was, my mother and father were, like my grandfather, I think very advanced for the period. We had no generation gap, quote unquote, and all my friends, young friends, loved my parents. In fact, Ruth says it's a joke that the reason she married me is that she was so crazy about my mother. She was crazy about my mother, and we had open house for everybody. Every New Year's Eve, there are a lot of people around now who remember, younger people like Jack Froehn, people of this generation. The Jackson house was always open, and there was always something in the icebox. And people could come in at any time of the day or night and know they would be welcome there. And it was a great atmosphere to grow up in, but it wasn't exactly conducive to putting away anything for themselves, because they didn't do that, and that was probably a mistake. It probably contributed to my father's early death, in fact.
He worked so very hard.
Yes, he did, sure. Indeed. So, but it was a wonderful house to grow up in. They were always open to new ideas, and as I said, we not only took in people who needy people, but we even took in pianos. At one time, well, for a long time, we had two pianos in the room. Dorothy Block, as a matter of fact, had to store her piano. She stored it at our house, and for a while, and we played. Charles Dreyfuss and I used to do two piano work together. We used to play for social affairs and so on.
There was music in your home then?
Yes, mostly myself. Neither my father or my mother played an instrument, but my father had a nice voice and was always interested in music. And that sort of came naturally. If you wanted to digress back a generation, several of my uncles, my father's brothers, were quite talented. My uncle Arthur was one of George Gershwin's early lyricists, as a matter of fact, before Ira Gershwin. I have a book up there on it. He and Gershwin collaborated on a few shows, at which my other uncle Fred wrote the book. So there's several shows in which my uncle Fred wrote the book, Arthur wrote the lyrics, and Gershwin wrote the music.
Unfortunately, the music came quite naturally.
So it came naturally. My uncle Arthur died very early. He died at 28. He was in the army and he contracted TB and died at 28. He was very, very promising.
Did he live in?
No, New York. Uncle Fred, who was a book writer, lived in London, New York, and then London and Hollywood. He died there, which is where my father died, incidentally. My father went out, after they broke up the house, he went out to Los Angeles to live with my Uncle Fred, and he died there.
Your Uncle Fred's name brings back something. He was a writer.
Yes, he was a writer, and he wrote several things, which were moderately successful. He always managed to make a living. He wrote for the movies. Anyway, we digressed from something.
From Ruth. Ruth and you. Where'd you go on your honeymoon?
Well, as I said, we got married in the depths of the Depression, and we went down, we took an automobile trip to Asheville, North Carolina, where we stayed at the Asheville Country Club. We had the bridal suite there, which included golf privileges and meals. And that cost us $5 a day. That I can remember, because Ruth has detailed. Ruth was very meticulous. She had to be. She had meticulous household records, which we still have. And I took it down and showed it to some of my friends one day, and they couldn't believe it. Like two lamb chops for 22 cents and that sort of thing when we were first married. So we went there on our honeymoon. I tied it in with a business trip, so I got my expenses paid besides, and that worked out very well.
That's very sweet.
So we went to White Sulphur the first night, and then the second night, and then went down to Asheville, and that was our honeymoon.
That was a very nice honeymoon.
Yeah, it was a nice honeymoon.
And then you came back to Pittsburgh.
We came back to Pittsburgh and lived on Shady Avenue, 1454 Shady, which is a duplex part.
Yes. You had children? Family?
Yes. One of the few regrets that I have is that we, I suppose we had to pay too much attention to economic matters. We waited 5 years to have our first child, and we waited a long time to get married. And we waited 5 years to have our first child. We had the old-fashioned idea that you have to have the means to pay for something before you did it, which is really out of date. And I wish it had been out of date then, but it wasn't. So we didn't have our first child, Peggy, until 5 years after we were married. And then Carol came along 5 years later. So we have two children.
Two daughters.
Margaret, technically Margaret Ann, and Carol Ruth. We've never called Margaret, I think, Peggy.
Your children went to school probably near where you lived.
They started in Linden and Whiteman, and then when both of them went to Winchester, and they both went to Wellesley after that.
And they're married?
They're married.
You have grandchildren?
Yes. Well, Carol, if you want that information, Carol is married to William Schaefer, who's a lawyer, and they live in Washington. And they both work. Carol has a really splendid job as a consultant, data processing consultant for an insurance company. And she works 2 days a week, and they have two children. And Peggy is married to Joe Sweeney, who's non-Jewish, as the name would imply. Wonderful guy. And they live in Providence, Rhode Island. Peggy works, too.
And they have children.
They have children.
What are their names?
What, the children's names?
They have your grandchildren.
All right. The Schaefer grandchildren are Timothy and Alexandra. And the Sweeney grandchildren are Kim and Kate. And an interesting sidelight is that Joe Sweeney, who obviously comes from a completely different milieu, was a poor Irish boy from Vermont, got educated on the GI Bill, a very brilliant man, is much more interested in our family background than the others who are in the Jewish milieu, I might say. They have all of our family pictures hanging. Peggy and Joe have all of our family pictures hanging up on the wall of their house, and Carol and Bill really don't care all that much about it, which is kind of
interesting,
unusual twist.
Yes, he's a good son of law, I'm sure.
Yes, he is. Well, they both are. So, what else? Where are we now?
We are with your children. Now we are. Now we're coming really to you. You and Ruth lived on...
Well, we lived on Shady Avenue, then we moved to Bartlett Street. Very parochial existence, you might say. Then we moved to Bartlett Street to another duplex. Then we moved to Northumberland Street, across the street from the fire engine house. And then we were lucky enough to be able to buy the house on Aylesbury Avenue, where we lived for 20 years.
Your children probably grew up...
And they grew up there, basically. And then we built this house in 1969.